chapter 2, where we're doing a verse-by-verse study of this book, and there's nothing better than just going through the scripture. Sometimes a verse at a time, sometimes a topic at a time, and often when we go through verse by verse, we come to topics, and we deal with the topic that that verse talks about. So 1 Peter chapter 2, and I believe children stay in here. First Sunday of the month, no children's church this morning. So 1 Peter chapter 2, and well, let's stand together. Wouldn't you stand and follow along as I begin reading at verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed, rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as lively, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless our time together now in the Word. Speak to our hearts. Help me as I preach, Lord. We all need this, Lord. We all need your Word. We all need the admonishment, the encouragement, the joy that comes from looking at your Word, reading and studying it, meditating upon it, and then living it out, applying it to our lives. And help us to be desirous to do that, Lord. Help us to glean something today that will be a real help to us in this week ahead. I just thank you, Lord, for the blessing of fellowshipping together as believers. And I pray that we would be encouraged today above everything. I pray, Lord, if there be anyone who knows not Christ as their Savior, they're not sure if they were to die today, that they would have a home in heaven. We pray, Lord, you'll bless our time now. Help us as we listen. Help me, Lord, give me strength as I preach. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Now, we've been considering the blessings of believers in these first verses of 1 Peter chapter 2. What a blessing to desire the sincere milk of the Word, or to crave it. Remember, we talked about craving. We need to have a craving, a hunger for the Word of God, and to be able to grow more and more into the likeness of our Savior. And how precious it is that God has given us a revelation of Himself, that we might know Christ, that we might know the way of salvation. And what a blessing we saw to have a living stone which grounds us on the solid rock, the stone of Jesus Christ, while we make our journey through a very unstable territory in which we are strangers and pilgrims on our way home, on our way to heaven. And on top of all of these, God has made us living stones in verse 5. Or lively stones, as the King James translates it, reminding us we need to be not just living, but lively. How lively, how excited are we? How stirred in our hearts are we to serve the true and living God? And we enjoy the blessing of being a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, and we can offer up spiritual sacrifices to the glory and honor of God, sacrifices which, believe it or not, can be acceptable and pleasing to God. I mean, it's amazing to think that I could please God and that what I offer to God would be accepted by Him. Last week, we were looking at some of these sacrifices were to make. So I want to get back to that. Verse 5 again, you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Why? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What a blessing we have, and what a blessing we can be as we reflect upon the marvelous provision of God in making us a spiritual house by the Holy Priest, by the Holy Spirit, and making us a holy priesthood. Remember, you are the priests. I am a priest. We all, as believers, are priests unto our God, corporately and individually. And what a blessing that then we have direct access to God, where we can offer up spiritual sacrifices of all things, and that they are acceptable to God. So then we are a spiritual house by virtue of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know, God living in me, Christ living in me, my body being a habitation, a temple of the thrice holy God of the universe. So we are a holy priesthood, made holy by the same indwelling Holy Spirit, not by any great sacrifice that we are able to make, but holy and only through the great sacrifice of Christ on the cross. That's how we're made priests. So as a holy priesthood, we're then to offer up spiritual sacrifices, and we're considering further Bible teaching about these sacrifices that we're to make. Okay, so number one, we saw the living sacrifice of the body, or the blessing of sacrificing my body. My body is to be a living sacrifice. And we looked at Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're very familiar with that verse, no doubt. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, except holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present, the idea of just give it. Just give yourself, bring yourself, offer yourself to God. And even more particularly, offer your body to God. And I can do that, and I must do that. And this word present was a word used of an Old Testament priest offering a lamb, offering a goat, offering the bodies of animals in sacrifice in obedience to his command. But I'm to offer my body a living sacrifice. Okay, God doesn't want my dead body. He wants me now alive, that I might be alive to him. And he demands that I give him everything, everything. Sometimes we don't and we won't because we're afraid that he's going to ask us to do something that we don't want to do or will not feel comfortable doing. And then we're on our own, and we fall on our faces every time when we try to go it alone, don't we? Remember, when we move with God, we may fall, but we will never fail because God has a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, to give you an expectation." Or to give you a future and a hope, as some translate it. Okay, God has a perfect plan. If I'll give myself to him, that his plan is the best plan. Not my ideas, not my plans. We need to remember that our life is not out of control. It's under the sovereign rule of God. Our circumstances, whatever God allows to come into our lives, they're not haphazard and beyond the grace and love of God. God is with you and me right smack dab in the middle of the most trying, difficult times. So there's the living sacrifice of the body. Then secondly, there's the sacrifice of praise, or the blessing of sacrificing my praise. And we see that in Hebrews 13, verse 15, Hebrews 13, 15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name." Okay? We gladly give praise and honor to whom praise and honor is due, right? Someone does a good job, we thank them. We praise them for that. How much more is the Lord our God deserving of all the praise that we can give him. Psalm 50, 22 or 23, whoso offers praise glorifies me. Someone said, the true offering is not the slaying of animals or the presentation of any material things, but the utterance of hearts welling up with thankfulness. Are our hearts offering praise to God? Because true praise comes from our hearts. And another way we offer the sacrifice of praise is in speaking to men about God. It's speaking to God, but it's also speaking to men and telling them about God and on behalf of our God. And that is the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. And then we come to number three. There is a sacrifice of sharing. That's where we left off last time. There's a living sacrifice in the body, the sacrifice of praise, and thirdly, the sacrifice of sharing. And turn to Hebrews 13. I should have had you turn there before. But Hebrews 13 and verse 16, the sacrifice of sharing and the blessing of the sacrifice of, or the blessing of sharing. We can just call it that, the blessing of sharing. Okay, Hebrews 13, 16. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. But to do good and communicate, that's an old word that means share. Or it also means communion. But to do good and have communion with others, God is well pleased with that sacrifice. Or fellowship. It's a Greek word, koinonios. Koinonios. And we get our word communion from that. It's often translated communion. It also means fellowship, participation. So to do good and to participate, God's pleased with that. In other words, the idea of my participating in another person's life, or sharing in another person's life, or helping them, has many different aspects to it. So that's the sacrifice of sharing. So we move from verse 15 about the sacrifice of praise to a sacrifice that we might find, I don't know about this, a little harder to make. That of helping other people. And the writer to the Hebrews says it all in the same breath. Give the sacrifice of praise to the Lord and the sacrifice of helping others. Is there a difference? When I help others, I'm praising the Lord, right? Now, we'll do anything from God. We'll do anything for God, right? If God wants me to die for him, I'll do it. But it may be God won't ask you to die for him. He's looking for you to live for him. And that includes helping others, right? But we think, but don't expect me to help other people. We looked at a similar principle when we looked at God's admonishment to us earlier in this chapter, I think, or was it chapter 1 of 1 Peter, to love one another. Remember, our life is all about one another's. And there are one another's everywhere. I see one another's out here. There are one another's out there and there and there and there. That our lives are to be involved with. Christianity is about others. Loving others, serving others, helping others, ministering to others. But I'm all about me, myself, and I. Isn't that enough others? Me, myself, and I? That's three of us in one package. And I got enough trouble just looking out for myself. Well, the reason you and I have trouble looking out for ourselves is because we're not looking out for others. And when we don't look out for others, we're looking within, and all that we find is trouble. You see, serving God and helping others are inseparable. Service to man is service to God. And we are to do good and communicate. We are to do good and participate. Have communion with others. Share with others. Share what you have with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Isn't that good? All I can do is help others in the name of the Lord, and I'm pleasing God. And I can't think of anything better to do as a Christian than to please God. I'm to share. I'm to share is to offer sacrifices to God. And it's wonderful. I get to help people, and I am offering sacrifices to God that please Him as I help people, all at the same time. So you get two for one. For me to talk about serving the Lord and praising Him, but then refusing to do diddly squat for others, is hypocrisy. It's a sham. It's a farce. It's no good. Alexander McLaren, preacher of the 1800s, said, "Your praying and singing praises are worse than useless unless you go out into the world an embodiment and an imitation of the love of which you sing. True philanthropy has its roots in true religion. The service of man is the service of God." And you know, you and I get the idea that we're just wasting our time when we try to help others because they don't appreciate it, doesn't do any good, hasn't helped them yet. Why do I bother? I believe because Christ bothers. 1 John 3:17. "But whoso hath this world's good and sees his brother has need and shuts up his mouths of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" If I see my brother has a need and yet I turn away and I shut up my heart, I shut up my bowels of compassion, and compassion comes from the gut, doesn't it? Then the question is, where's the love of God in that? Look at 1 Timothy, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. And this is interesting. 1 Timothy 6:17. First Timothy's in the New Testament. It's not in the Minor Prophets. Jim had us in Sunday school turning the Minor Prophets so much, we just automatically go there now, right? So, 1 Timothy 6:17. "Charge them," means admonish them, command them, "charge them that are rich in this world," and I dare say every one of us is rich by the standards of the world, even today. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in," what are they called? "Uncertain riches." Remember, riches have wings and they can fly away. "They not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Okay, there's where our trust is. And then verse 18, we might say, "and also that they do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to," there's our word again, koinonios, communicate, share, participate in the lives of others. Okay? Don't trust in your riches, but be rich in good works and share, distribute, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. That's how I'm to use my riches, to help others. Ephesians 4:28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." I should have had you turn there, but I wasn't thinking. But Ephesians 4:28, Paul says, get out there and work. Why? So you'll have something to give to someone else. That's the purpose of labor. Yeah, I know, it's to meet my needs, to take care of me, but God's going to take care of me, but it's also to help others. Working with his hands, that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. I am to work in order to give. Luke 6:38. Give. and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto you your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, or by your standard of measure, or by the measure that you use, it shall be measured to you again. However we give, God will give to us. However we give, our fellow man will give to us. I'm to share my wealth. I'm to share the gospel. We're to share our time, share our hearts. It's all about sharing, sharing, sharing. But to do good and share, that's a sacrifice God is well pleased with. You see, there's no place for selfishness. There's no looking after number one. And I tell you, I am number one at looking out after number one. And I battle that every day. I do. Why? The old man, that flesh, wants me to look out for number one. God's Spirit says no. Terry says yes. Okay? But I'm to share. I can't be selfish. I can't be always looking out for number one. We can easily fall into what one writer called a toxic self-absorption. A toxic self-absorption. I'm absorbed with myself. I'm like a sponge about me. If we get too occupied with our own welfare and our own selfish interests, and we become too comfortable with ourselves, and then we become disconnected from the world. Kind of like when your computer gets disconnected and you're like, wow, what do I do now? I'm lost. That's how we are when we become disconnected from our fellow brothers and sisters. But to do good and share, don't forget. Don't forget, the Lord says to us. Do not forget. And he says it because we do neglect. We do forget. And so we sin against the Lord and his people to whom we belong. And indeed, we belong to one another. We are our brother's keeper. But we're looking at offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And that sounds so noble and so high and so holy. And it is. But what's it involve? John 13. Turn to John 13. I'll tell you what it involves. It involves our getting dirty. It's about getting dirty. Getting humble. And doing some foot washing. Now you know where we're turning. Doing some foot washing that is not always so pleasant to do. But the reward and the satisfaction, nothing can compare. John 13, 12, this is right before Christ is going to the cross, right at the time of the Last Supper, his passion. And so after verse 12, after he had washed their feet, and remember, their feet were dirty. They wore sandals. They walked in the dirt. They had some stone roads, but they had a lot of dirty roads, didn't they? And in taking his garments, and he was set down again, he said to them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. When Christ says you ought to, then I ought to. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now, I don't believe this talking about literally having a foot washing service. I know churches do, and that's fine. We know. I think the greater truth here is the principle, the illustration, that I'm to go out and help other people. And that's harder to do. That's harder to do. Because I have to want to do that. I wonder if sometimes the thing that would help get us out of our doldrums and pity parties is to get out of our safe little shell and serve others. Just get out and help others. I think it would help cure some of the depression and a lot of other maladies that we have. It could go a long way to helping us get rid of anxiety. You got any anxiety this morning? Let's do something for someone else and find out they have greater things to worry about than you ever thought about. It can go a long way getting rid of that. And we can become so overly anxious and worried about many things because all we do is look within. How do I know? I do it all the time. And I got to battle it. It's a battle. It's a battle. It's a battle. But it's worth fighting every day. But we look within. We need to quit examining our navels, as it said, and start lifting up others out of the ditch. We need a lot less navel gazing and a lot more people gazing, people watching, looking at the hearts and the needs of other people. Yeah, I think it begins in the body of Christ, but it doesn't end there. It's those without as well. It's interesting to go to the mall and watch people as they go by. We still have a few malls left. They're going down fast. But hurry up and get there if you want to do this. But it's interesting to watch people. When we go to the mall and my wife is looking at things in the store she's interested in, I say, I tell you what, I'll be right out here. When you need me, I'm right here, you know. Because I, you know, it's really weird to go in a women's clothing store, and next thing I know, I'm surrounded by bras, you know. I'm thinking, oh, get me out of here. This isn't looking right, you know. So I said, come get me. But anyway, people watching, and I'll sit there and I'll watch people. They come in all shapes and sizes, all ages and dress. And as you watch them, you can't help but sometimes wonder, what life is like for them? Are they happy? Do they have families? Are they going through troubles? Do they live nearby? Do they go to church? Do they know the Lord? You know, you wonder about people. Anyway, let's look at people. Let's just help others in whatever way we can. And as God opens doors for us, take advantage of it. It might mean going to the hospital. We've got to go to people. Maybe going to the hospital, going to someone you know or someone in the church that's in the hospital. People love visitors. Now, sometimes maybe it's not the right time, but normally they love visitors. It may mean taking time some evening to visit in the nursing home. I've heard people say, well, I don't ever go to the nursing home because it's depressing to me. And I go, wow, how selfish and self-absorbed can you get? And I think, and I have to watch myself, be careful what you do. It may be one day you'll be there and no one's going to come to see you. You know, think how depressing and discouraging for one in the home who has no one to visit them. No one to visit them. I remember a gentleman once years ago in one of our nursing homes here who was just in bad shape. He had dementia, and he didn't know where he was at, and he was always trying to get out. And I remember going up to him and talking to him, and he kind of looked at me with this blank stare. And, you know, just trying to say a few words to him, but couldn't get very far. But I found out later this gentleman used to be a teacher in a college here. I don't know which college it was. And he had two doctorate degrees. He taught mathematics and had two doctorates. Was a brilliant man. And now he's there all alone, you know. And there's so many people don't have any family. No one ever goes to see them. We can go. It may mean writing a check to someone in need. It may mean sending a thinking of you card or a get well card or even a text or an email, but taking time to call someone or visit them or take them out for lunch or dinner or invite them, invite them into your home. We need to open up our homes and have people in. We're getting practical here, aren't we? When was the last time you had someone to your house? You say, well, it's a mess. I don't care. I don't care how messy it is or how imperfect it is. Clean it up a little. It doesn't have to be perfect. Order pizza. You don't know what to do? Order pizza and have someone over. Let's minister one another. Some of our best friends in South Carolina when we lived there were people who had people in their home all the time. That was a gift they had. And their house was disorderly. I mean, it was clean, but it was a mess. They didn't care. They were caring more about people than how neat everything looked. But let's minister to one another. Let's grow up and do some things we know we ought to do and can do and see if God won't pour us out a blessing. So, number one, the living sacrifice of the body. Number two, the sacrifice of praise. Number three, we're to give the sacrifice of sharing. And number four, finally, there's the sacrifice of death. Look at Philippians 2, 17 and 18 for this. Philippians 2, 17, there's the sacrifice of death. And I guess that's the final sacrifice we can make, because it ends there. Philippians 2, Paul writes in verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. He's talking about being offered as a sacrifice that's going to be killed. He knew his death was imminent. It could come at any time that he would likely be beheaded. That literally has the idea of being poured out as a drink offering. Maybe your Bible translates it that way. Yea, and if I be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice. And by the way, you're rejoicing too. He said, Paul said in Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify of the gospel of grace of God. He was headed to Jerusalem. He knew he may die there, but it didn't matter. He was ready to give his life for the gospel. And he said as much in 2 Timothy 4:6, some of the last words he wrote, 2 Timothy 4:6, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. So he looked at his life as an offering when he would be taken in death. And you think about it, what a great privilege it will be if God should call us to offer our very lives in sacrifice to him. What a privilege to die for him, knowing he died for me. Paul had no fear of death. He was ready to live or die, whatever best honored God and helped others in their faith. For him to die was gain. Again, Philippians 2, 17 and 18, Paul rejoiced at the prospect of being offered as a sacrifice for their faith. And he said it was joy and rejoicing for them as well. Now, I would assume that the Philippians really didn't like the thought of losing Paul. I mean, he was an anchor to this church. He was such a help to them and a blessing to their faith. And they could have thought that it would be bad. It would only be bad if Paul died or if his life was taken. And we feel that way about those we love and care about, don't we? That if they die, it's bad. It's bad. Or those who've had a godly influence and spiritual help in our lives. We don't want to see them go. But these verses can help us see death the way maybe we need to see death. That heaven's gain, our loved one's gain, can be our gain as well. When that loved one dies and their life is taken by the Lord and they go to glory, we can rejoice. And we can continue to rejoice. Their homegoing, what's it do? It sends us nearer to our Savior. The wonderful memories we have of them can bring new life to our understanding and devotion to God and His Word. And knowing they're in heaven brings heaven that much nearer to earth for us. The victory they finally won reveals to us in a very, very real way that we too shall be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And all is moving to that day. Friend, we're all going to die. And may we be privileged to die for the Lord, if it be His will. May we be privileged to die in the Lord, serving the Lord when that time comes. And it will if we're serving him now. Everything's moving forward and upward to the glorious day when we shall be united, not in spirit only, but we'll be united in glorified bodies. And wow, when you see me in my glorified body, that's what you're going to do is go, wow, I never knew it was possible. I sometimes still wonder if it's possible, right? But that's going to be a wonderful day. Oh, happy day that is coming. And every sacrifice of death brings us a step closer to that day. God help us to be ready to live for that day, to rejoice in the prospects of that day. God bless his word to our hearts. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. It's just so amazing, so rich in doctrinal truth. The things of the Spirit are such a blessing to us. And your word is so practical as well. We know that the only way we're going to have satisfaction and fulfillment and happiness, if you will, is to live according to the principles, the teaching of your word. Help us to live for you, Lord. Help us to live for others. Help us to give ourselves in serving you and in serving others. And Lord, may we be ready and willing to gladly give our lives for you in death, if it be you call us that way. God bless now as we close. We give ourselves to you and ask you to do your work in each of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 395 is our